Now, Glenn,
Before you go, I heard you say, let me wrap up.
No. I want to wrap up the last point because we have some other things we need to talk about. And I want to read this to you, let you respond directly. I have my own response, but I'll give way to you.
Yeah,
it says,
right,
Glenn, the Defense Force can never be placed among the institutions you mentioned. What has the organization done since its formation? It has marched up and down at parades and made one or two excursions to help neighboring countries in crisis. It is a totally useless organization, and that is why Barrow was going to abolish. Its only saving grace is that it has offered an opportunity for employment for some people. How do you respond to that?
I think it is utter gibberish. And in fact, I was going to come to those areas to give the younger persons who might not know the context in which the Defense Force came about. First of all, by the time Barbados became independent in 1966, we were responsible. We had what we call full internal self-government, which meant that we were responsible for everything in Barbados except defense and foreign affairs. So with independence in 1966, you assumed responsibility for your own defense, especially your external defense that would have been given by Britain because when you were a colony. But it came about because it meant that we had to therefore to assume our sovereignty and assume our responsibility to defend ourselves. And the first responsibility of a government is to keep its people safe. Not houses our job, but to keep these people safe. And the Defense Force came out of realization by Tom Adams that had to be done. For you have to remember too, Tom Adams would have also uprooted the U.S. Naval facility in St. Lucie from Barbados, which had been here carrying out operations nobody was ever sure of in the 50s. At Harrison's Point, the U.S. Naval facility. So that went. And by then it was also the attempt by Sidney Burnet Allen to overthrow the government of Barbados. I'm sure you might have heard of Sidney Burnet Allen.
Of course.
I'm sure you must have heard of the conspiracy with Patrick John to overthrow the government of Barbados, have a commonwealth of Barbados and Dominica. What really upset me about that is that Patrick John wanted to call it Dominica and Barbados. I don't see how you got to give him Dominica or Prisons or Barbados, but that's national ego. But the point is that there was a real possibility, there was a real realization that you could do, as a country could be taken, especially the size of Barbados, before any defense could be taken over very easily by a few hundred people or a dozen people. So it came out of a real need. It was not contrary to what Gabby sought to portray in Boots.
Yeah.
It was not the whimsical activity or Tom Adams to create something. It was a need, a sure need. And if anybody can tell me that's not justified its existence by now, I'm afraid. Who would have helped who would have been able to assist the police in the various duties?
I think the work of the BDF is usually done very quietly, and that is one of the reasons. They've done rebuilding of homes, all the things here locally. But I barely know of the work because of spaces that I share. So the average Barbadian, and the person that mentioned this is not a young person. This is a renowned social commentator that made this comment. So that's what's interesting.
I know a couple of people who have that feeling towards it. But I think it's ignorance, because nobody is going to come and defend you. You have to take responsibility to defend yourself. No matter how poor a country is, it has to be able to have put some kind of defense. So that's his basic responsibility. To defend, they hope parents defend their children. A country's government has to be in a position to defend, begin to form some form of defense of its own people.
All right, cool.
And the Barbados Defense Force has not done anything out of kilter. It has worked in Barbados well. It has worked in the region. And it has helped the Barbados Regiment, which was a volunteer force, could not be able to assist the police in crop over, as do now, as is issues. It has expanded. You've got an air.
All right, Glenn, don't worry. I think you made a good defense of the Defense Force. You can move on to the next point.
good. That was a good shot. Thank you. I should have thought of that. The other thing I want about is an issue which has popped up and receded and popped up again. And I think that it has popped up in my mind again because today is about the 21st. 21st, right?
Yes, the 21st. Yeah, 21st of August.
And by now, the government's payroll is being prepared, or probably in the Treasury for paydays on the 26th and pension on the 26th. And I'm trying to revive the issue of the promises made and not kept so far about those persons who would have been had their, what they call pensions abated or pensions redesignation or allowances designated as redesignated as pensions and have these cut. Now, I've been receiving all kinds of stories. You know the stories you can get on your phone from persons, Corey. The last one I heard is a man told me he was getting in the region of $1,200. He got a note to say that he's going to be down. It's going to be $3,375 from this month.
No warning.
And please, people should not get angry with the Treasury because everybody who goes to the Treasury tell me either goes or calls the Treasury says, we heard you, we've heard it, we can only do what we have been instructed to on paper. We cannot unilaterally change it. So when I hear all this talk, I mean, well-intentioned, well-deserved, noble, Christian humaneness that is being extended towards these quarters in St. Philip, I am not sensing that there's any a similar sense of humaneness, understanding, and appreciation for the plight. One man told me that he had, his wife has cancer. He had two insurance policies cashed out to assist the wife. Now the wife, all she has now to rely on was that allowance, and now it has been is being chopped severely. So there are real life stories, heartbreaking stories that are being told and lived every day by person. And what upsets me, quite the very few things that upset last week when I had to deal with the plight of common rear, that upset me so much is this. Minister, if you can backtrack a bit, give me a minute for this. You remember Minister from St. Peter, Mr. Jordan.
Colin Jordan.
Colin Jordan had said it was an error. They didn't want any throw anybody in the bus, but it was corrected. Minister Strong came on two occasions and said it would be correct. It was taking longer than expected, but it should be done soon. Then he came back and said he hoped it would be done in early August or something like that. But then he said, and the most important thing that I think a lot of people have missed, and I mentioned it, but I don't think a lot of people have missed, he said it was not a mistake, which meant there was a contradiction between what Minister Jordan said and what Minister Strong said. It was not a mistake.
But Glenn, I think you working in the system, you would know those things cannot happen by mistake. Right, a number of signatures need and files need to be written on, et cetera, et cetera. What right, I think, how both of them can be right, it can be that it was a mistake to do it. You understand? So there's two different interpretations of the word mistake. So when, and I'm not speaking for any of them, I'm just giving what would be my interpretation elsewhere, is that Minister Jordan could have said it was a mistake, as in it was our mistake to do in the first place.
But I have to be, accepting that from him at first. But then when Minister Jordan not only said it was not a mistake, and linked it to pension reform. I recall that AMF for years and the AIDB and those institutions have been criticizing Barbados for having its pensions too generous. And like I said before, reform does not necessarily mean to make better, or to enhance. To make bigger can also mean to reduce the charge or to adjust in any direction. So pension reform, and we know that pension has to be for because the pensions, the allowances that people get were not contributed by them. It was out of the government treasury. And if the government is no longer able to pay, I think Minister Strong said that. I don't want to make sense. I don't want to put words in, but if government is no longer, they should come and tell the public, give the public a clear, definitive position as to where we are. This is a policy that has been operation prior to the change since 1975. And if there's been a change, there must have been a tremendous development that caused the government to change overnight. Come to the public and give them full story. No, we have not had a full recollection, a full account of why this 43-year-old policy was overturned overnight with little notice, no preparation on the part of people, and it's being maintained. And we're having this crosstalk whether it's a mistake or not. And Minister Strong has also said that it is also said they will get retroactive. The persons who had been disadvantaged would have been compensated for their loss. I feel that the time has come where a ministerial statement or address to the nation sense to come, because one thing that bothers me too, we know about the number of squatters in St. Philip. We know the number of the proportion of Barbadians against proportion of non-Barbadians. But we don't know the number of people affected by this issue. We don't know the quantum of money. Minister Strong said that persons would not in pension reform persons would not be allowed to fall below the poverty line. Now, if that is fine, I understand that. I agree with that. But I'm saying to prevent persons from falling below the poverty line, it means that government have to finance them, as you would know, Corey, to make up for that shortfall. They have to subsidize them, have to create a welfare grant, et cetera, et cetera. So if that would have just to increase the bureaucracy, et cetera, some money would have to be involved. You would have to get money from somewhere to do that. If it is, why not let the same money stay with the persons and treat them in dignity, avoided deprivation and distress, etc. And the same money that you go to, you pay to them to make up for what they get under welfare or whatever we might call it, our public system. Let them keep that same money in the same treasury and pay it in the same way. I am completely baffled as to why we are not hearing any clear, concrete confrontation of the issue and tell the public all the facts. The public can live with it. And let us go from there. Because a lot of people are hurting, badly, and people are still getting letters.
The last statement you made is where I wanted to actually start before you even went there. And one of the things I think is missing is that kind of concrete information in terms of what's happening. Whether it comes, the policy comes from the ministers, and the actual details comes from the technocrats, as I believe it should be. I think something needs to be done, and then something needs to be said simultaneously, because we've had saying, but we've not had the rectifying of the matters.
And you've people appreciate how much it would have cost by over the last 30, 40, 10, how much it cost by per year, so they can understand it to the substantial sum, what would have necessitated such a move, or might have necessitated a move. Or let people talk about options, but to just treat it so by itself, to me, is inhumane. Mm-hmm. And I think it has reached the point where the Prime Minister, who's also the Minister for Finance, should deal with it and put the cards to the public and use their persuasive powers to convince the public that this is what was necessary for the country, or was vital now, and not something that could have been avoided or postponed or mitigated or whatever. To leave it hanging like this, cold, without any context, without any explanation, without any rationale, is unjustifiable.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn. And on closing that point and segueing to another caller, I would like also then to call on the journalists. We had a post-cabinet briefing just recently, and not one asked. And I think that we should have asked questions in relation to that so that we can get some questions on that. And that's where the responsibility of the Fourth Estate comes to the fore. Brad Stats, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Lynn.
Hi, good morning.
A couple of things here, really. Mm-hmm. I agree to Mr. the last caller, Mr. Murray. I have represents. I see the mostly young boys have nothing to do all day long, on their treats, you know. I just smoking herb all day long. The other thing has to do with this thing about abortion. And, you know, Marshall Lynn, right?
Marsha Hines Lane, president of the National Organization of Women.
Sometimes when she speaks, it leads me to wonder a lot of things. The first thing, they're always there on the radio and on TV. You should not have unprotected sex. If you do that, you risk contracting some disease or some unwanted pregnancy. Now, let me draw a scenario to you. You have a young lady who is about 18 or 19 years old, have a boyfriend. Now, she knows this for a fact, you know. She sees it on TV, she hears it on the radio all the time. Even around Carpova, it was on very regularly. And she's going to take a chance and have unprotected sex. And find out later on that she's pregnant. Now, she might be going to school. And therefore, she wants to continue her education. You were telling me that she purposely knows that if she does something like that, she's going to get pregnant. And then go and have an abortion. And then tell me, and I will tell Miss Lynn, the only way that I accept abortion is if that abortion is a threat to the mother's life. But if you purposely are literally going to do something like that, as far as I am concerned, it is nothing more than legalized murder. And I want to challenge Marshall Lynn the next time you got her on this program. And she could come anytime. I'd be willing to take a challenge with her. The last thing has to do with swatters. I saw on TV last night a woman who was not of Barbadian consent. The saint said that the $25,000 that the Prime Minister is offering to the people up there in Rock Hall to move from up there, as far as I may understand, that is for people who's working for such and such or who is earning such and such per month. And you get this $25,000 to help bottom line about this is the cheapest that you can get is about $50,000 or $60,000 plus. Then you have to get the lawyers now to do the paperwork. Very people can get $60,000, even if they got $25,000, they got to move the house. Where this part of land they come from? And where should I expect these people to move these things and go?
The thing is, I was asking some questions about this up to yesterday. Some people in the know. No, you won't get everything in a press conference like that. So there are some other issues that are being rolled out and ironed out. Secondly is, go back again to questions that we should ask, because when that was said, someone should have asked, but not one asked. Now, my understanding too is, I don't know the answer, by the way, but my understanding too is that there's a consideration of renting land. There's a consideration of making land available. And all of those things were discussed with me. And I don't think I'm at liberty to discuss all of them, but these are things that need to be rolled out in the public. So that was brought up in a wide-ranging type of an interview, but I think that an entire segment, statement, or something should have been placed towards that so that we can flesh out the details so that the public understands the direction that we are going in. So thank you very much. Wednesday edition of Down the Brass Stats. Now, the WhatsApp here was down, or I should say the tablet was down for a while, and it now had a burst of a lot of WhatsApp. So let me just get a couple of them, and then we go back to the line. This one says, good morning, sir. Can you tell me any information relative to the pension from the Treasury that was supposed to be returned to be paid, since I received the letter this morning saying that mine will be stopped? My understanding is that I believe Minister Strong, the last time he was here, I think he said by the end of August. But I'll try during one of the breaks to get the latest on that. This one says, good morning. The streetlights on Horse Hill are not maintained by the Barbados Light and Power Company. And if that is so, when the gentleman called, he should have been told so. But if that is the situation, I think he should be pointed to the person who is responsible for the maintenance. This one says, I would like to report a broken pipe on the bottom of Plum Close in Union St. Philip. It has been leaking for 10 weeks. It has been reported several times. Well, it brings me great pleasure to let this particular contributor and the entire Brass Stacks family know that this Brass Stacks Sunday, in association with Williams Industries, we would actually be having the Minister of Water Resources, Mr. Abrams, here on the program with the management of the Barbados Water Authority to talk about these types of things. It says that, you know, we are experiencing water crisis with households across the island affected by either outages or low pressure. This Brass Stacks Sunday, join Sanka Price at 11 a.m. as he hosts the Minister of Water Resources, Wilfred Abrams, and the management of the Barbados Water Authority as they outline the extent of the challenges faced and some of the solutions they intend to implement to solve this crisis. So tune in this Brass Stacks Sunday from 11 a.m. We talking water. Brass Stacks, you're on the air. This Brass Stacks Wednesday. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the program, Brass Stacks, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you, sir?
My man of the year.
Jeez, don't, brothers. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Two extra minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that's no problem.
I really kidding, but go ahead.
Right? Yeah, you can work with my thing. Mm. No, okay. I was intending to speak about something different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until I heard Mr. Glenmurray just now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm disappointed, but not surprised at Mr. Glenmurray, right? Now, he talked about the BDF. Now, the BDF is a good institution. There's no question about the BDF. But I find that he's talking about 40th anniversary. Most people will celebrate 25th, 50th, 75th, and 100th. But I know, as I said, I'm disappointed but not surprised. But what really made me change my whole contribution when he talked about this double pension? I'm very disappointed at most of the moderators on BOB, including Mr. Murray, and the Nation editorial, as I mentioned last week. Now, you said that they had a press conference with the government sometime and not one journalist asked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a journalist, What I asked, I went further than this. Mm-hmm. Today marks 70 days that I wrote a letter to the to Miss Carol Martindale, the editor of The Nation, and asked her if she can reprint the 15th of May, 2012. The article was brought by Miss Maria Bradshaw, entitled Pension Dilemma. That's when the former Prime Minister, Mr. Stewart, spoke at his branch meeting. When he talked about the same issue, this is in 2012. So Mr. Murray and them, he just said, but hold, this thing is now reversed. It was not now, it's not now reversed. This is ongoing. Now, you see, I heard Mr. Johnson say already, and I agree with him, people say what they want to hear, and a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion. Too. Mm-hmm. Now, the last time I heard Mr. Renstron spoke, right? They pick what they want to hear, and they're complimenting this Joanne Head, this excellent program, and this is Sanka Price and Mr. Glenn Murray. But they want to, they pick up what they want to hear. But they didn't, what they should listen to, Mr. Strawn did not, Mr. Strawn said it is possible that by May, by August, they may get it back. May is not a guarantee. That's only a possibility. You understand? There are three people in this whole thing. Former Prime Minister Stewart, the acting Auditor General, and now Mr. Renstron. And all three of them said basically the same thing. That there's a breakdown in communication between the Treasury and the NIS. That why people were erroneously being paid two pensions. The law in Barbados state, this is the law in Barbados. If you enter public sector after the 1st of September 1975, you are entitled to one pension. That law was passed by Mr. Morrow's administration, right? So I'm really perplexed to hear ministers saying that how these people are going to get back the pension. In order for you to change your law, you have to go to Parliament and change.
But you well know sometimes laws are observed in the breach. And there are also laws in relation to how non-nationals access medication in Barbados. And it was allowed to go for some time. I remember then Minister of Health, Don Villanis, sought to stop that. It was stopped. It's even my understanding now it has just been reversed in practice. Not in policy or law, just in practice. And that's sometimes how it happens around here. Agree?
Well, but what I'm saying to you, right? Mm-hmm. What I'm saying to you, right? They're making it elusively clear
mm-hmm.
that if you are now, you see, he come a lot of things. He's not questioning the people, right? No, you ain't hear he said when these people were employed.
Mm-hmm.
You're never hearing he said when these people were employed in the public service. I saw a lady give an interview to the media, and she said that she was employed sometimes. But she, if you listen to her interview, she gave the real reason why they should not go and get any. But let me just say this to you as well. Now, that is one of the old colonial laws
mm-hmm.
that went off the books. Why should you bring back this law on the books? There are several old colonial laws that went off the book, right? Like public servants, which public servants make, they don't pay to their own service pensions. That's going to be stopped as well.
But start smiling. Let me ask the question though, because more you listen and the more people talk, the more confused I get, muddled I get. Because you did hear the comment by Minister of Labour Colin Jordan, right?
Yes.
Good. Now, get this. Do you agree though with Mr. Murray that there should be some concrete statement laying out all of the different things you talked about in terms of when people were employed, after getting the pension, after not, after changing the law, after they can just observe the law in the breach? Do you agree that Barbadians at minimum deserve that particular type of statement?
Well, okay. Let me agree with you, right? Let me agree with you on that point. But I'm saying in the case of Mr. Glenn Murray, he used to be a minister in the public service. That's right up his thing. That's his purview. He used to be a a reporter.
A journalist,
A journalist.
Yes,
a journalist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said on many occasions that he's a historian. Why couldn't Mr. Murray, including the others, go and do some research? Why didn't Miss Carol Martindale reprint the thing in the papers? And this is just stop all the confusion. There's no confusion about this. Mr. Glenn Murray, them is who's talking the fire. You see, it's coming out to pay time. And I'm sorry, put me in the position of the...
But no, but in all fairness, sir, forget the personalities for a moment, right? You have a statement by Minister A. You have another statement close to and different at the Minister B. And then persons receiving letters that telling them something completely different. Wouldn't that create confusion to them? No, you are hearing by the end of August. You put in that May. I did not hear that.
Maybe.
I didn't hear it. But why would a minister come on and say we made a mistake and you may get back the money? Would that give people false hope and false expectations if you don't plan to do it? This serious business.
All due to Mr. Glenn Murray, this guy, right?
What wrong with you and Glenn Murray?
Huh?
Forget Glenn Murray.
He should know better.
Let me look at the issue, though. Because Glenn Murray not affecting the pensioners, you know. The pension checks are. You have people saying we're going from $1,200 to $33. That's something you agree with, sir?
No, it's not true. That can't be true. This is what the people are failing to say.
Right.
They say half truth mm-hmm. and half comment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is it, right?
Right.
Now, when they recognize, if they're recognizing the government, okay? Now, the treasury does compute your pension, because it's a disability. Also, Mr. Strawn said that disability is a pension. I bet you didn't hear that either.
No, sir.
Disability is a pension, though.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't hear that, right? Now, this is what's happened, right? Now, in the case of this lady that I told you about, she said she used to get $608 per month. She gets this gratuity. And when she gets her gratuity, she's signed for a reduced pension. Now, what she's getting now is $832 from the NIS. You cannot get both payments from the NIS and the Treasury. If the NIS is greater, you will get the one from the NIS. That's what she's getting now, right? But they're not saying that. Then the Treasury will give you $47 as cost of living. But they're not saying that they're getting, in this lady's case, $830. They say that they're only mentioning the $47. Nobody can live off of $47.
Right. But that's why we need to be clear. Right. Because it was this whole muddling of pension versus benefits, and if you're getting two, and then you was not getting two by law, you're only supposed to get one, according to you, as in 1975. And I remember hearing that years ago, but apparently they were still getting. Then they stopped getting. Then people say, oh, it's humane, the bill, the life based on this, they will be getting back. Man, I heard all of that, and you heard it too, because you don't miss anything. My thing is if you are going to cut it, be brave, be bold, stand up and say it cut, and leave it there. Don't come with this man, be pan, be tight thing, hot and cold.
That's what Prime Minister, you see what I'm saying, right? Now, these might be two young ministers, and I remember saying this, that Mr. Colin Jones should have leave that ball outside the awesome. Right?
He played.
You understand? He should have leave it outside the awesome. I admire Ian Gooden. Missing in good things, right? When he went, he called Brassat. She said, listen, I did not cut anything. The NS did not cut it. I am not responsible for no other entity in the government. Then the accountant general made a statement in the GIS. None of the people that are complaining ever mentioned the accountant general. And he said exactly that. He said exactly that. It was a miscommunication or poor communication between the two government entities. And once that they got it, they realized people were erroneously being paid two pensions. One had to stop.
Look, all I can say on this, in closing, is that we need clarity full stop. We need clarity. You have clarity, sir. A lot of people don't. There are people messaging here. There are people calling in here. There are people meeting us at the front door. They start coming in River Road.
Anytime, Corey. Let me just say this to you. Anytime I want to call you, right? Ask them when they were employed in the government.
Right.
And ask them.
I ask them about the other pension that they're getting. Yes. They ain't talking about when they talk about the $35.
Right. ask them those two questions.
Sir. All right, I can do that. You have a blessed and wonderful day. You're here.